Heart is full tonight. Amen. To hear the singing and the spirit of the singing, the message of the song, the melody was really soul stirring. And that's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to see the investment, Brother Dawson, that Amen. We're made, that God's just giving so many dividends off of that. And see how God has moved and worked in this church. And I want to let you know that he's not done.
That's right, he's not.
He's not done. There's a whole lot more he wants to accomplish with this church. Just to kind of, you know, I want to say a few things tonight. Just bear my heart. I do best when I just preach whatever God's laid on my heart and say whatever God's laid on my heart. Just a few moments ago, your pastor talks about the time. You know, people think that he's got all this time. Well, I want you to know that all that time is already spent, you know, to prepare a message. To prepare a message, you have to do about 30 minutes of preparation for every minute you're going to preach. About 30 minutes of preparation for every minute that you're going to preach. Now, you take 45 minutes and multiply it by 30 minutes. And that gives you an idea of how much time, and I want to say, it's not just time, it's mind. The pastor has to have his mind freed up to hear God speak to him. He has to have that. And he can't have that if he's trying to put his mind on plumbing problems in the church. People can't make it to church. Even when people are sick, he has to visit. I'm just saying that, you know, he could easily spend 90 hours a week in sermon preparation. And that's why in Acts chapter 6, it says it's not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It's not just time. It's his mind. That's why, if you can, at all possible, before he comes to the pulpit, please don't load him down with a bunch of troubling thoughts. He needs to be able to come and deliver what God has laid upon his heart for you, of course, for himself. And this ministry, as it gets larger, you're going to have some full-time staff members. Amen. And that means it's going to take some money. Remember this morning I said, I don't have no problem talking about money.
Amen.
You can't take it with you.
No.
You can only use it for God's glory while you got it here.
That's right.
And if you're right with God, you don't have a problem with money.
Right.
I have no problem saying that. I'm one of the head tithers in our church, one of the head givers in our church. I don't say that to brag. I say that to lead. I lead. Amen. I don't try to ask our church to do anything that I'm not doing or haven't done or not willing to do. And so we try to lead by example. But I appreciate the pastor and his heart. He touched my heart there. I was already touched by the singing. I want to commend the choir for the diligence that you've made and making a joyful noise unto the Lord and ministering to God's people through song. My heart was already touched before he even said that. And then he got up here and we are so similar. It's not funny. But anyway, it's good to be here. Tonight, I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18. You know, when a pastor, you know, he has a text to preach from, you know, he has all different types of sermon titles that could come up. You know, I had one, and I was thinking about another one while I was sitting there.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, we're talking tonight about tapping in on the potential of others. And we'll see how Paul, who was a model Christian, as a matter of fact, the Bible says he is our pattern to follow in long-suffering. We need to watch Paul and see what he does. And if we emulate that, we'll be okay. Because he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one given the operations of the church. He was given how things ought to be conducted in the church, and more than any other apostle that you see in Scripture. And, of course, it's good to observe the Apostle Paul, and we can observe him in Acts chapter 18. We have two people that come up in Acts chapter number 18. One is Aquila and Priscilla, then the other one is Apollos. And we're going to start out with Apollos tonight. And of course, another title that I could probably entitle this message is getting the church to fire on all cylinders.
That's good.
Yeah. What would this church be like if every member was excited about the things of God?
Amen.
What would this church get done?
Oh, yeah.
If every member was fired up for Jesus, and if every member had a heartbeat for souls, if every member was spiritually healthy,
yes, sir.
I mean, what could get done? I mean, thank the good Lord, what's being done, and you're not firing on all cylinders. I don't know how many mechanical backgrounds we have here tonight, but I know if you drive a car, and you're driving a car that's a six-cylinder car, I want you to know that it can run on four cylinders. It won't run very well. Man, it'll give you a rough ride. Man, you say, what's going on? Pow! 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 Man, you beat up, man, just driving. Because what happens is that you got six cylinders, four of them are operating okay, but then every now and then one of them a fire off, and that's when you get that pow. It's got that buildup of gas and stuff like that. And you can see some Christians that way. They are sporadic Christians.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing they do is make a bunch of noise. Pow! Pow! You know? And they need to be going, you know, firing all, when they're supposed to be firing. Sometimes they fire out of time. Pow! You know? You get that knocking and all of that sort of stuff there. But it's amazing when you have six cylinders firing at the right time, efficiently and effectively, man, then you can get with the program. And so many times, in churches like this, you have a few members firing. But man, what this church could do if every single member got serious and got committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. I like that song, I Surrender. I surrender my life.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about.
That's right.
I'm going to let you keep your seats tonight, but Acts chapter number 18, I want us to look at verses 24 through verse 28, Acts chapter 18. You can keep your seats tonight. Most of the time on a Sunday night, you have the saved people, the faithful people come back.
Amen.
You have your core group in the church. And it's the core group that God's got to work with.
That's right.
To get things done.
That's right.
The sporadic Christians that may come on a Sunday, and you don't see them on Sunday night, you don't see them on Wednesday. Now, they could be there, but they choose not to. Well, you can't really count on them to fire. I'm just keeping it real.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, after pastoring for a good 36 years,
yep,
and pastored this last church for 25 years, you know, you kind of been around the blocks a few times, and so I do have a pastor's heart. I love the church. I love pastors. I love God's people.
Amen.
And so tonight I hope to be an encouragement to you. Now I want to let you know that it's going to be some medicine you got to take tonight.
Amen.
All right. You're going to have to take it, drink it, and it'll make you feel worse before it makes you feel better.
Yes, sir, Brother Bird.
I mean, that good medicine to do that, man. When I was coming up, you know, we were poor, man. We were poor. We didn't have much. We didn't have no insurance, health insurance and all that sort of stuff. And when you got sick, you turned to a lot of home remedies. Yeah. Man, you're having to drink pine needle tea. That stuff is bitter as a gall, man. Then you have pig toenail. Believe it or not, man, once you ah! But after a few days, you go, hey, I think I might be able to make it. And when I was coming up, we had the Antichrist medicine. Anybody heard of the three sixes? Man, taking the Antichrist medicine, man. Three sixes. I ain't know nothing about the Antichrist, but man, that medicine was just nasty. But it worked. And sometimes the word of God, man, like you were saying was it Ezekiel? Is they eat it up, it's going to make your belly bitter. It's going to be sweet, but then, man, when it get in there, it's going to be bitter. You know, it's kind of like that tonight. So just bear it.
Amen.
Get it down, and it'll do you good later.
Amen.
All right, so I've got my disclaimers out. So now let's get into Acts chapter 18, and let's start at verse 24. The Bible says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John.
Amen.
And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And that's what we're looking at tonight, expounding the way of God more perfectly. And what we want to do tonight is not miss opportunities to come along someone who may not know that much about the scriptures, but what they know they are committed to.
Amen.
And take them along and bring them along. And as we'll see, notice what happened. Look at verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass through Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. And tonight what we're looking at is every single member here tonight firing. Now, there are members, Pastor Dawson, I know there are members who could do better, but choose not to. They could be a minister, but they choose to be a victim. They choose to be ministered to. You run into these folks that come to church. Now, they're not looking to be a blessing. They're looking to get one, but they're not looking to be one. And man, they come waltzing in here. Nobody loves me. Who have you gone to? Nobody, but nobody loves me. I ain't got a friend. And the Bible says, he that has friends must first show himself friendly. You know, people want to reap things without sowing things. They want to reap love with sowing hatred. It don't work that way. You want love, you got to sow some love. Amen. But you know, my desire as a pastor, turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. I want you to know tonight that if you're saved, if you're blood bought, you have been gifted with the gift of potential. Everybody here tonight has potential to be used of God and to be greatly used of God. How many tonight believe that little is much when God is in it and when God has it? I'm here to tell you tonight that little is much when God is in it and when God has it. He's got to have it. That boy had to give over that lunch in order for it to be made, be multiplied. He had to give it up.
Amen.
And I want to say tonight, as we sang that song, they sang that song beautifully saying, Lord, I surrender. I tell you tonight, if we was to really surrender, God could do some great things here in Tucson, Arizona with Shining Light Baptist Church.
Amen.
Here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. I stand here tonight. I don't have much. I don't really know too much. But what I do have and what I do know, I give to God's people. And I want to let you know tonight that every single one of us is gifted with some potential. It may not be the same exact thing, but, you know, I'm so thankful that God uses diversity, that he makes things different on purpose for a purpose. And Paul expounds about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about that body. Romans chapter 12, talking about the body, says you got many members that have different functions for a purpose. Amen.
That's good.
Man, I tell you what, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my hand. I'm thankful that I can catch a ball with my hand. Now, I can catch a ball with my head, but I would not recommend it. Don't catch no fly ball with your head.
Oh, no, wait.
You're around there. Here it comes.
Yeah, boom.
Got it.
I got it.
You got a big knot.
Sure.
Man, you grab it with the hand and throw it with the hand. I'm glad I don't have to catch it with my head and then throw it with my head.
Amen.
God knows what he's doing when he places members in the body. And tonight what has to happen is God's people, you are gifted in certain areas that others are not gifted. But when you put it all together, it works for the glory of the Lord. And what has to happen tonight? Every single member in this church has to get whole spiritually. Wounded Christians don't minister. Christians who are healthy help other people. Christians who are not healthy hurt other people. So tonight, I hope that you will commit yourself to being healthy.
Amen.
As a Christian.
Amen.
And now tonight, as we, as Paul said, for I long to see that I may impart some spiritual gift to the end, you may be established. I would love to see this church triple in size by next year this time. I'm here to tell you, it could happen. It could happen before the year is out. Just to double in size, you know what you need to do? Reach one person.
That's right.
If everybody here tonight fall before their face before God, on their face before God, said, God, let me reach one person before the year is out.
That's right.
And when I say one person, I'm not talking about putting their name on a slip.
Right.
I'm talking about putting them in a pew. I'm talking about putting them in the waters of baptism. I'm talking about putting them on the church roll. Now, you may have to go out and fish for about 20 to get one. But one is better than zero. And I'm talking about every member. Now, you see, I've been a pastor for a while, and I know some members, when as soon as I say that, they go, oh, I'm tuning out because I know I can't reach one. Yes, you can. What it is that you don't want to do, put forth the effort to reach that one. I know how it goes, but I'm just saying tonight, if this whole church gets on fire, if every single member, see, you don't have to worry about nobody else but yourself.
Amen.
Maybe I'm too simple-minded. I mean, the way you get to 100% is 1% at a time.
Amen.
And I'm not asking you to worry about somebody else's 5%.
Amen.
I'm just saying, get your 1%.
That's right. That's good.
And so here it is in Acts. Chapter number 18, let's go back there. We see that Aquila and Priscilla are just replicating what the Apostle Paul did in their life, in their lives. In Acts, early on in Acts chapter 18, look back at it. Acts chapter 18, and let's look at verse 1. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupations, they were tent makers. Here, what happens is this. And I'm going to tell you about it. It still works.
Yes, sir, it does.
If we just be obedient.
Amen.
To witness where we are. If you're in the workplace, they say, well, you're there to work. Amen. Do a good job.
Yes, that's right.
But, hey, you're not going to fool me to tell me that every second there you're working.
Amen.
Well, I'm just telling you, hey, you talk.
Yes.
Right? You talk about a whole bunch of different things that's got nothing to do with the job. Right? I like to talk about Jesus.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Amen. I was in the Air Force, put 20 years in. You can't witness on a job. I said, well, I can't. You can't bring your Bible on a job. I said, well, I can't. Well, it's not a technical order. I said, neither is that Playboy. I said, neither is that Airman magazine. I said, I tell you what, if I can't bring my Bible, I want all this stuff that ain't got nothing to do with the technical orders. I want it out of here.
Right.
But as long as it's here, I'm bringing my Bible.
Right.
I read it on my break time. You can't put it on your desk. Yes, I can. Watch it. Look at it right there.
That's good.
Man, I tell you what, I said, you don't want to go there. And they didn't. I witnessed to every commander I had, every supervisor I had. I had people getting a briefing about don't talk to Sergeant Byrd. Don't get in a conversation with Sergeant Byrd. And next thing you know, 40 people got in a conversation with Sergeant Byrd and got saved.
Amen.
Went to church.
That's good.
Got baptized.
That's right.
Amen. Man, I tell you what, I ain't giving up the freedom from which I'm fighting for. That's another message. Let me get off of that one, man. I'm just talking about what Paul did. Paul went there and his trade was tent making. And in that workplace, in that work environment, they were of the same craft. He ran across some people. And what did he do? He took them aside, Aquila and Priscilla, and taught them about the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And he's gone. He's gone. He's enough left. But he left Aquila and Priscilla there. And who comes through there? Apollos comes through.
Yep.
And Apollos is fervent in the scripture. He's mighty in the scripture. And the only thing he knows is about the baptism of John.
Amen.
And he's preaching the fire out of that one message.
Amen.
Amen. They take him in. They take him under their wings. And then my Bible says, and they expounded the way of God more perfectly to him. And as a result of it, the Apollos had a whole lot more to say. He had more some sound doctrine now, and he started shucking the corn. And as a result of it, more people got saved. He helped them much. And so tonight, what I'm saying, listen, if you are saved, don't content yourself in being a baby Christian. Don't content yourself in saying, you know something, I don't know too much, then learn more.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about some things you can do, some practical things you can do to see this church grow. And this church needs to grow. Amen. I tell you what, all of Tucson ain't been won to the Lord yet, is it? Is there still some lost people out there? Oh, you still got some work to do? Amen. As a church body. Every child of God has been gifted. And I want to let you know that you've been gifted with spiritual gifts for God's eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose is to bring glory unto himself and his son, Jesus Christ, be magnified throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
That is, for all of eternity, people are going to be giving praises to God for all eternity.
Yep.
Now, I want you to understand, at one time it was that way before Lucifer became Satan.
Yes, sir.
There was a time, we don't know how long. I don't know how long the angels had existed. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. Now, you may know, but I don't know. I know that they were there when the foundation of the earth was laid.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says the sons of God rejoiced.
Yes, sir, he did.
And I know that they were there before the earth was made. Now, where they existed, I don't know.
That's right.
But I believe they were. And at one time, Lucifer was content in what he did.
Yes, sir.
But there came a point in time that he says, you know something? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of doing it God's way. I think I can do it a better way. I'm here to tell you that's not ever going to happen again once God's finished with this whole thing. When God's finished with this whole thing, all the people in heaven, amen, going to be happy. All the people in heaven, get this, want to be there. There'll not be one person in heaven that don't want to be there. There'll not be one person in heaven that says, I'm bored and I'm tired of doing it this way. I think I'm after 50 trillion years old, I'm 50 trillion years old. I think I know something now. God will tell you, even after 50 trillion years, you still don't know nothing because you don't know everything. And God is the only one that knows everything there is to know. Amen.
Preach it like it is. Amen.
And so we need to understand something about God's eternal purpose.
Yes, sir.
Everything's going to be done God's way. And everybody's going to be happy.
Yes,
I'm here to tell you tonight, if you are dissatisfied about doing things God's ways now, you better work on that.
Amen.
Because in heaven, you're going to be doing it for all eternity. You're not going to get bored. And, I ain't doing it that way. No, that ain't happening. That happened one time.
Amen.
And what happened to them? They got kicked out.
Yes, sir.
God said, you can't stay here.
That's right.
And I'm here to tell you tonight, man, we understood the mind of God. Oh, this is mind-boggling. Before you were even formed in the womb, God knew you.
Amen, he did.
And God knew you would receive his son. And God knew you would want to change. And God knew that you would want to serve him throughout eternity.
Amen.
So we've been gifted with a spiritual gift for that eternal purpose. So what God's people has to do is to get healthy and start doing what you've been gifted at.
Amen.
And we all did that, man. You see this church just grow, just take off. You see what we see here? We see that we can pass up opportunities of ministering to people who have the potential to be used of Christ, or we can take advantage of it. And what Aquila and Priscilla did, they saw some potential in Apollos. And they just went and brought him under, they just took him under their wing. And what there's a failure we see in churches today is people giving up time and effort to take some folks under their wings and expound the word of God to them more perfectly.
That's right.
This Saturday, you guys have planned time to go out and do some door hangers. You know, if you can show up. If you can show up, show up.
Amen.
All right? Don't schedule no sicknesses.
No.
Pastor Dawson, I think I'm going to be sick this Saturday. I really hope that I got a cough that come on so I don't have to show up. No, show up.
Amen.
And hang some door hangers. Tonight, what we're looking at is beginning to take new converts who don't know much of anything and assimilating them into your church. By taking them under your wing and spending some time with them, discipling them.
Right.
Amen. Don't just leave it up to, well, that's just the deacons. That's just, no. If you are blood bought, you have been gifted with the gift of potential. And what you need to do is three things, four things tonight. When this coming about, talking about assimilating people into the church, taking them aside and teaching them more perfectly the word of God. Now, first of all, you got to be taught yourself.
Amen.
You got to be discipled yourself. Amen. You got to get off this baby formula. Amen. And start getting on the meat. And start growing up and becoming a strong Christian.
Amen.
Man, these Christians have been saved for a long time and still call themselves a baby Christian. Man, that baffles me. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child.
Yes, sir.
And the implication is that was okay for a child to think like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, man.
Amen.
And this thing about being a baby for 18 years, something's wrong with that.
Right.
Man, 18-year-old dragging a bottle around. 18-year-old person with a poopy diaper. Walking around. I'm 18. I got a big bottle.
Uh-huh.
I'm still a baby Christian.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Drag my bottle around.
Yep.
I can't drag nothing else around. I can drag my bottle. Man, you got Christians been saved for 18 years and hadn't grown one bit. Man, we need to change that up.
Amen.
Man, it's time to grow up. It's time to get strong in the Lord.
Yes,
it's time for you to come alongside someone else who is a baby in Christ, and say, come on, don't stay a baby.
Amen.
Amen. But I'll nurse you a little bit.
Yep.
Not so that you can be content in being a baby, so that you can grow up and help somebody else. You see, that's how the church grows.
That's right.
When God's people get involved. And so, tonight, I'm just visiting with you.
Amen.
I mean, I can give you some you know, over your head stuff. But I didn't come here for that. I want to minister to you.
Amen.
I want to get down and say, okay, let's get down to it, and we'll do. We'll come alongside folks and teach them the Word of God more perfectly.
Amen.
Now, there are four things that's going to have to take place tonight in order for us to do that, to assimilate people in the church, to get the church prospering like God intended for it to prosper. He didn't intend for the church to just barely get by. He didn't intend for you just to have a life that's humdrum. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. God wants you to be some happy Christian. And Christians who serve learn to be happy. Christians who don't serve complain.
That's right.
Now, what has to happen? First of all, listen to me tonight. It's got to be genuine. It's got to be a genuine interest in other people. I've been trying to teach our folks for 25 years. Don't look over those little babies coming up. Don't look over those little kids coming up. They're souls for whom Jesus died. They can get saved, and that's the potential future of the church.
That's right.
Spend some time letting them know that somebody other than their parents care for them.
Amen.
Man, because you look at these little kids, I look at these little kids, I say, that's future right there. Invest something into them.
Amen.
I love kids.
Yes, sir.
There's tremendous potential in them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to take an interest. Amen. You're going to have to take an interest in other people's lives. And that's what Paul did with Aquila and Priscilla. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos. And what happened? He helped them much.
Yes, sir.
Have a genuine interest in your church, its ministries, and everything that's going on. You ought to be kingly interested in what's going on. What'd you say, Pastor Dawson? What'd you say, Pastor White? We having this? Okay, I'm interested in it. How's it going? I'm so interested that I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray that it be successful. Amen. Be genuinely interested. Be genuinely involved. Involve yourself. All these begins with eyes, and I'm going to give you something else that begins with C's, but right now, be genuinely interested. Be genuinely involved in it.
Good.
Then be genuinely invested in it. I'm here to tell you tonight that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you don't invest into something, you don't care about it.
That's right.
But when you invest in it, you care about it. That's why parents are heartbroken when their children don't turn out right, because they've done years of investing.
That's right.
Most children don't invest in their parents. Those that do love their parents.
Amen.
Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You won't, it's not, hey, Lord, let me put my heart there, then my money will come. No, you put your money there, your heart will follow.
That's right.
People care about their homes because they invest in it. People care about their cars because they invest in it. Whatever you invest in, that's where your heart goes to. You want your heart to be here in shining light? Invest in it. Take your time. Take some of your time. Come down here. I mean, come down here. Pastor Dawson, I just want to come by and pray.
Amen.
That's good. Jesus said, let my house be called a house of prayer. Come on down here and pray. You don't have. I don't think you charge admission for prayer, do you? Say, hey, you come down here and just pray. Man, it'd be good to come down here from time during the week. Let the Lord move upon your heart and invest some time down here praying. Come down here and pray. And if the Pastor Dawson's got a little time, say, Pastor, would you come pray with me?
Amen.
I don't think he'd mind.
Right.
Pastor White, could we just stop by and pray? You have an upcoming meeting? Pray about that meeting. That's another message, but investing and then instructing. But now what I want to talk about, really, the rubber that meets the road, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and then we'll quit tonight with these C's. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. You know, Paul says in verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, we're going to talk about three C's. You're going to have to come to these three C's. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 14, you there? Let God's word speak to your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, for the love of Christ, my Bible says, constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live, get this, that they which live should not what? Should not henceforth, live unto themselves, But unto him which died for them and rose again.
Amen.
Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Three C's tonight. Beloved, you have to come to this place. You have to come to this place of being totally committed to Christ.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says that we should not henceforth live unto himself. And that's the problem with Christianity. You find people, they're not living for Jesus, they're living for themselves. And to what end is that? I mean, the older I get and the closer I'm getting to glory, God's showing me what's really important.
Amen.
I mean, that's why he's making this move in our lives at the age of 63 to go and start from cold turkey, go to a place that we don't know anyone, and try to start a church.
Amen.
How are we going to do that?
Right.
Man, I'm saying my wife is just me, me and you, kiddo. We're going to roll into Charlotte. I'm going to start meeting people. I'm going to have me a soul-winning prayer diary.
Amen.
I'm going to set a goal to try to meet 10 people every day.
Praise the Lord.
10 people every day.
That's good.
I'm going to roll up in the Walmart and say, hey, ma'am, God bless you. You know, you're my number one.
Amen.
Number one what? You're the first person, new person I met today. I'm going to get her name or his name. I'm going to write it in my soul-winning prayer diary, and I'm going to start praying for him. And I'm going to make it a point whenever I go to that Walmart and that person's working, I'm going to make it a point to go to that person's line. I don't care how long the line is.
Amen.
I want to see that person and begin to build a relationship with that person. And say, hey, Susie, you know, I met you the other day. I've been praying for you. How's it going? You know what I'm beginning to do? Invest into that person's life.
Amen. That's good.
I'm not just going to look past that. That's a soul from whom Jesus died. And I got in those columns down there. Did I give this person a tract? Did I give them a gospel witness? Did they come to the services? Did they get saved? Did they get baptized? Did they become a member of my church?
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
I'm going to go there and meet people wherever I can meet them.
That's right.
I know people going to go to Walmart.
Uh-huh.
People go to Walmart.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You meet the church eventually at Walmart.
Amen.
Restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people all around us.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go out there and we're going to meet people. I'm going to add them to my prayer diary, and it won't take me long to get that thing filled up with a whole bunch of names.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I'm going to begin to pray for those people.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to begin to look for those people.
Absolutely.
And I believe God Almighty is going to use me to impact those people's lives.
Praise the Lord.
I believe the same thing at work here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I believe the same thing. Hey, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Remember that medicine I was telling you about that's going to make you feel bad before it makes you feel good?
Yeah.
Here's a dose.
Yes, sir.
How many friends you have made in this last year?
Wow. That's good.
How many new friends have you made in this last year? Something to think about, huh? You can always use some more friends.
Yes, sir, you can.
Amen?
Amen.
When was the last time you made a new friend? I don't do that. I don't play that, Pastor Bird. I don't play, hey, that new friend? No. Man, I tell you what, we need to begin to befriend people and show them the love of Jesus Christ, just like Aquila and Priscilla did Apollos.
Amen.
Amen. There are a bunch of folks out there hurting.
Yes, sir, they do.
They just need somebody to genuinely care for them. I had a lady, just met her 2 weeks ago, was walking by, came to our church, got saved.
Amen.
She didn't show up this past week, but then I got a phone call from her last night. She's crying. She's from Chicago. She's been in Alamogordo for a couple of weeks. She said, I didn't know nobody else to call. She said, would you pray for me right now? And I did. I prayed with her over the phone. I texted her this morning and said, praying for you. She texts back, thank you.
Amen.
She just needs somebody to love her.
Yes, sir.
Somebody to come alongside and say, you know something, Jesus loves you. And let me show you how he loves you through me.
That's right.
We're going to have to be committed to Christ, beloved. And listen, that's a problem in a lot of churches. Folks are saved, but they're not committed.
That's right.
Number two, there must be a compassion. We must have a compassion for other people. My Bible tells me, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We got to begin to look on people with love instead of criticism, with compassion. You're going to see a person, it looks like they're a derelict. I want you to know something, that Jesus loves them. He loves them. God reminds me as I go through our city and I see people that maybe that lovely man that they just look strung out. God reminds me, Willie, while you're looking at that person thinking they're strung out, I still love them and I'll save them with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you go and tell them.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We bypass people all the time.
Yes, sir.
We don't have time for them.
Uh-huh.
And folks hold up signs.
Yeah.
Homeless.
Yeah.
Well, and the first question comes to my mind, why? All right, why are you homeless?
That's right.
You don't have to be homeless, man.
No, you don't.
I have a father who owns everything.
Amen, we do.
Amen. Now, if you want to stay this way, welcome, you know, help yourself. But Jesus loves you, and Jesus will save your soul, and he'll change your life. And God says, I'll supply all you need.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor have seen begging bread. I just happen to believe the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord.
It's going to take commitment. It's going to take compassion for others. And beloved, tonight, it's going to take a conviction that will not waver.
Amen.
If we as God's people tonight become more interested. If we as God's people tonight become more involved. Amen. If we as God's people start investing more. If we as God's people start instructing more. If we as God's people are committed. And we as God's people are compassionate. And we have the conviction that we'll not waver. You know, Paul talks about, he said, for which we faint not. We'll see something great done.
Yes, sir, we will.
In Tucson.
Yes, sir.
And in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Amen.
And in every other place where a group of people, blood bought, would do those same things.
Praise the Lord.
My heart is in this ministry here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, God has raised up this ministry here for a purpose. And he's brought you here, not by accident, but by divine providence. The only thing you had to do is say, Lord, okay, we sang that song. It was a good song to start out with. Lord, I surrender.
Yes,
I surrender to you, Lord. Let's do it in truth.
Amen.
And not in pretense. Let's go on and say, Lord God, okay, whatever you want. And that's what I did. Back in 2013, September, I was in my office. I said, God, what do you want from me? Here it is, I'm getting older. Ministry is 20-something years into the ministry. The retirement syndrome begins to kind of creep into your mind. Man, yes. Hey, a couple of years, you can start drawing Social Security.
Amen.
Then what you going to do? Man, I ain't doing nothing. I'm going to become a sluggard. I'm just going to go and, man, do whatever I want. Let somebody else take the ministry. God said, I ain't saved you for that. I ain't saved you for nothing. I saved you so you can work for me.
Amen.
Amen. I saved you to finish your course with joy. Yep. You ain't finished yet, Bubba. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want from me? And God began to stir my heart and says, I want you to go do the same thing all over again from scratch.
Amen.
But Lord, I don't know anybody. Well, you're going to learn to know some people.
Amen.
Lord, I don't know many people. I don't know many preachers. I know Greg Dawson.
Yes, sir.
I know he loves me.
Amen.
But I don't know many other folks. You know something that's amazing? From that time to now, man, I tell you, I done met a whole bunch of folks that's interested. And they say they want to help. But God called me and kicked me out of that comfort zone and said, listen, I want you to go over there and make a difference in somebody's lives over there in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's 2 million people and growing there. There's not enough churches. You go and start a church that's going to be true to the Word of God. You teach people to have a love for souls, not only just for Charlotte, but for the whole world, and get involved in missions. Amen. And, of course, you're already here. You got a head start on me.
Amen. That's right.
You got a head start.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go there. I don't know anybody. Pastor Dawson, you can't say that. You know, you got some folks here, brother.
Amen.
Now, you guys better not let me pass you.
Yeah.
You ought to be running 500 before I do.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
We're
going to try to run 1,500. I'm like this. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time.
Yes, sir.
So, somebody told me today, he said, you was in the Air Force, you've been aiming high. Was that you, Pastor Dawson? I'm aiming high, bro. I'm trusting the Lord that in 5 years, we'll be running 1,500 or 2,000.
That's good.
Not because we got a fabulous program, but we have some committed people to the cause of Jesus Christ.
That's
right. I was just visiting with you tonight, church, bearing my heart with you. Let's tap in on this potential of others. Would you commit yourself tonight to Christ? Let's bow our heads together, every head bowed, every eye closed. I think. Let's stand to our feet. And we're going to turn the invitation over here in a few moments to Pastor Dawson. But every head bowed and every eye closed. How serious are you for your Savior? How committed are you to your Savior? Where is your compassionate level for souls? I'm convinced there's a whole bunch of people that could be one to Christ here if God's people but just surrender and commit themselves to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about really doing it seriously.
Amen.
Not playing around. And so in a few moments, we may have someone playing the instrument. If God spoke in your heart, see, the nice message was for God's people. It's going to take God's people. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. It's going to take God's people surrendering truly unto him, commend themselves unto him, say, Lord, I don't have much, but whatever what I do have, I give it unto you. If you do that, you'll see God do some great things in Shining Light Baptist Church here in the town of Tucson, Arizona. So musician, you play. God, people, you come. Let's get real with God tonight. Would you come tonight? Would you come? Would you come and let God have your heart tonight? God saved your soul. And he saved you for a purpose. It is not to do nothing. It is to serve the Most High God. Would you come tonight and commit yourself to the cause of Jesus Christ? Would you commit yourself to come alongside and taking folks under your wing and helping them become a better Christian? Would you commit yourself to that? Would you come? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Others have come. There's still room for you to come. Don't let the devil get victory tonight in your life. I can tell you one person who would not want you to come. That's the devil. I can tell you it's not God. You think God would have you commit yourself to him? Absolutely. Amen. So just obey God tonight. Of course, if you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell, you don't have to go there. There are people here that love you. There are people here that's willing to help you and want to help you with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One person said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in that house." Getting saved is simple, by trusting Jesus Christ that he's the Son of God, God the Son, and that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose again from the dead, and that if you place your faith and trust in him and him alone, he will save your soul. You can get saved right where you stand. So if you're lost, don't stay lost. If you're saved, commit yourself to the cause of Jesus Christ. I'll turn it over to the Pastor Dawson. God bless you, Brother Dawson.